Hi, this is Larry London. We welcome you to Border Crossings, where we bring you some of today's biggest names and hottest music stars. And we are joined by the lovely and talented Azra, who is with us. And she's here talking about a new EP, which is very exciting. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of layers to Azra. I want to peel back the onion just a little bit. And I'm going to start off with the question of what is the sixth dimension? Because this is something that seems to follow you throughout your bio. So where are we going with the sixth dimension?
Yes. Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for having me on Border Crossing. I really appreciate you guys for bringing me on. So I want to start with that. So the sixth dimension basically is a shift in perspective, and it's a place where you can just let go of all your inhibitions. And it's where you can go after your dreams, and you can be kind of just be unapologetic about who you are. And you're completely safe to do that. So I came up with a sixth dimension when I was a kid, actually growing up in Korea. I was kind of like a weird kid, like a little misfit. And I didn't realize until recently that I was actually a little emo kid. And then, like, you know, I just felt deeply. So, you know, when I was getting in trouble and being a little rebel kid, you know, like sneaking out of Sunday school classes and all of that and getting in trouble with nuns and everything, I literally would walk around like different neighborhoods and wherever I was just being emo and thinking about it. And I was like, now looking back, I'm like, why did I like take it so deeply, you know? And then I'm like, that's because I was an emo kid. But and growing up, there were a lot of like older people being like, hey, you know, why, like, you kind of seem very different than like other kids. Like, why don't you just be normal? And then they would say that I belong in the sixth dimension in Korean. And in Korean, like directly translated, six is like you and chawan is dimension. So growing up, I thought I'm just like a weirdo. I'm like, why do I have to be in this place called Yukchawan? And then fast forward to, you know, like a couple years ago, when I was like in the studio trying to figure out, hey, like what? And then I realized, I'm like, I'd actually rather bring people into the sixth dimension and exist in it, you know, where I can just be myself and help others break free from the norm. And I was like, I'm just going to embrace the sixth dimension and I'm going to help spread it. Mm. So that's what the sixth dimension is. Mm.
When did you leave Korea? When did you move to America?
I left in 1998. Yeah, 90s.
In the 90s, so, okay.
Yeah. So I was, and then and I moved here when I was young, and I didn't know a single word in English. I only knew half of the alphabet.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That must have been a big adjustment. What was your biggest change when you came here for you?
I think everything. Like, I did not want to leave Korea. So I was young, you know, and like, I had my friends there. I knew the language, everything. It was like my comfort country, my home. So coming here, everything was new and everything felt very daunting. Like, no English, like no language, communication, no friends. I think everything was pretty a lot. Like, it was a lot of changes.
You go back ever to Korea and perform there? I mean, the K-pop music scene is huge right now.
Oh, it's so huge. And I love it. No, I haven't gone back to, well, actually I have gone back once a couple of years ago, for music and also for personal reasons, but I haven't gone back, and I would love to go and just like do a tour or just do something, you know?
Yeah. This is a great time. I mean, it's a great time to be a Korean artist. Korean American artist in your case, but it's great to be a Korean artist who's, you know, because right now it seems to be, like I say, that wave of success with the, and I don't know what it is, why all of a sudden, you know, the world has taken notice of Korean artists, but you know, because a lot of people, finally, it's about time.
Asian American artists, right? In general,
yes,
like,
yes,
been
there you go.
For a long time, Larry.
Yes. Yes. I've been around for a long time, so I know. We're talking to Azra, who is our guest today. We're going to ask if you do a song for us.
Definitely. I will share a song off of the EP, and it's called Soul Ties.
Soul Ties.
It's in half Korean and half English.
Oh, bilingual. It's Azra and Soul Ties on Border Crossings.
to connect. It's so hard to hear through all the static and find something real. 아무리 힘들어도 포기하는 내가 아니야. Heard a signal clear on the radio, calling my name, showing me the way to go. 난 여기 있잖아. Got a true good few who will always be there for ya. Alright. So with the spotlight on and they're playing my song, all my day ones here I could always count on. Let your soul reach out and watch it come alive. 이제 내 자신을 알아. This is where I belong. 우린 함께하는 운명이 네가 주위에 소리 먹어. 내 느낌을 믿어. It's time to draw. Like dynamite, you know the deal. 믿고 앞으로 나가 그런 빛이 보일 거야. Alright. So with the spotlight on and they're playing my song, all my day ones here I could always count on. Let your soul reach out and watch it come alive. 이제 내 자신을 알아. This is where I belong. 우린 함께
Crossing Soul Ties, Azra, who's sitting with us right now. So it was English and Korean. And what do they call it? Kinglish? I don't know what the word.
Konglish.
Konglish? Okay. I love it. I love it. And it sounded great. The way you blend the two. Do you miss Korea? Do you miss anything about back home? Your family still live there? Do they come over here with you?
Yeah. So my family came here with me, and then my entire dad's side of the family, actually, they live in New York. So when I first immigrated to America, we went to JFK and my family stayed in New York for like a month while my dad was getting adjusted and, you know, everything out in the Bay, California. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely. I used to say that I miss Korea. But over the years I realized I don't like my roots and like Korea is always in me, right? It's part of me. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also being in LA and, you know, having K-Town and having so much access to like K-culture and K-beauty, Korean dramas and like my friends. So in that aspect, you know, it's part of my life still, mm-hmm. which is great. But yeah, I definitely miss like actually visiting there and, you know, being in Korea too. Mm-hmm. I love America too. So it's like both.
Yes. Well, it's good. It's good to be diverse. It's good to be bilingual, bicultural. Now you talk about substance pop mm-hmm. to describe your music. Can you explain that?
Yes. So substance pop is basically, it's like a genre. I hate genres, and I hate like fitting into boxes and like titles and things like that. So when I was, you know, I grew up having a lot of different musical influences, from like obviously K-pop, like even Christian music, like classical music, because my mom sang in a choir and she just loves music. And then I did musical theater, and then I got into hip hop. And then my entire high school life was metal and punk rock. So I have a lot of diverse, I guess, like musical influences that kind of shaped me into the person that I am. So when it came to creating my own music, I was like, you know what, like, I don't think I can like fit into one genre. So I'm like, okay, what is that name? And then during the similar time, I also had juvenile glaucoma when I lost my entire like right eyesight temporarily. And that was a really hard time. And, you know, despite the fact that it was like really dark and hard for me, because I was kind of forced to give up everything that I loved to get surgery and heal and see again. But one of the biggest things that I've learned out of that experience was, you know, there's so much more than what meets the eye. Because, you know, when I was half blind, like I had to really focus on not the external stuff all the time, but figure out like how to find light inside of me. So while doing that, I was like, you know, like, I think there's so much more, and I want to like dedicate my art. And whenever I can see again and feel better, I want to be able to like have substance and seek substance. So that's kind of where like the idea of substance came, and wanting to seek more. And then when I was embarking on this music thing, I was like, huh, like that's perfect. The genre for me can be substance pop.
Yes.
You know, it has everything.
I like that. I like that. I asked an artist once what described your music. He said it's a smoothie, because it's a bunch of ingredients. It's a smoothie.
That's
but
dope.
But I like substance pop. And so I understand that the new EP, you were doing music you didn't really particularly want to be doing. And then with the new EP, you've done exactly what you want to do on your terms, the way you want it.
I would say it's not that I did music that I didn't want to do. I was 100% in it when I was doing the other stuff. Yes, 100%. I would say it just took me all of those songs and time for me to really hone in and be like, okay, like all those songs represent different parts of me, like, right? Like it was expressing a lot of the pop sounds, you know, like all these things. However, the message and their songwriting and the idea of the songs, it's very consistent. But sonically, yes, it's definitely evolved. And I feel like, you know, with this EP, I finally feel like I found that sound that I've been wanting to find for myself since I dropped music back in, like, first music back in 2017. So yeah,
we're with Azra right now. The new album is called The Chronicles of Substance Pop: The Rebellion. And you said earlier you were a rebel, you were a little bit emo, you were going through it all. So I guess the album must be very personal. You must probably have a lot of songs that have special meaning to you on
the
album.
Yeah, definitely personal. A lot of it was very self-reflecting, creating this EP. And yeah, everything is very personal. At the same time, I wanted it to be very, like, I was hoping that it could resonate with others as well. Yeah, but it's a very reflective EP that is also loud.
How did you handle COVID? I mean, how'd you survive that? As an artist, we were all stuck in the house.
We were, and I felt like I was like a hamster going up and down the stairs trying to like figure it out. It was crazy, you know. It was hard, obviously, and I feel like in addition to everything that happened outside, like a lot, every single one of us humans, including myself, like I had to deal with a lot of things inside that I was so busy not attending to right before COVID. And when COVID happened, it was like everything, every demon, every darkness or whatever, it was inside of me, you know. And we have it, right? We have like our light and the dark, everything. It was like it knocked on the door, and I was like, okay, time to address all of them. So it was hard, but I did a lot of like healing, I guess, and connecting with people that I love and connecting with new people, artists. I got to collab a lot virtually, and I did a ton of like streaming stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It opened up a new door for a lot of people because, you know, thankfully now we have social media, and that helped artists get through that time period where, you know, there was no interaction with your fans.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
You couldn't perform anywhere, but if you did a live thing on, you know, virtual reality or whatever, then you can do that, you know. But Azra is our guest, and we're talking with her about her new EP, and I'd like to ask if you do another song for us.
Absolutely.
What's this song?
This next song is called I Wish You Cry, and it's all about confronting our vulnerabilities and actually accepting it and realizing that vulnerability is actually strength. So I was inspired to write this song. It was like at 3 a.m. when I was laying on my pillow in my bed sideways, and I was like, I had so much on my mind. I was just like, fed up with all these things, just couldn't sleep. And I was literally like so close, like one sigh away from breaking down, and I was holding back, and I decided to just let go. And I did. And then I just started crying, and just tears just kept on falling. And it felt really, really good. Like I felt like, you know, there was a really like warm sense that just kind of like came through me. And then I fell asleep. I passed out. The next morning I woke up and my eyes were super clear and everything, like I wasn't even under the influence, but everything just looked hella clear. And I was like, this feels great. And then I was like, damn, like I mean, I've always cried a lot. Like I have lots of tears.
That's good. Crying's good.
Like, it's so good for you. Hmm. It's healthy. But I was like, I want to write something that helps, you know, others to realize that actually vulnerability and letting go is strength. Mm. So here's I Wish You Cry.
I Wish You Cry here on Border Crossings.
Just be quiet, shut your mouth, hide the feelings you don't talk about. Keep your fears hidden all inside. Wipe your tears, tell them you'll be fine. It's the same story that we've been told, from people too scared to be vulnerable. Let's make it different from all that we've known. 'Cause what do they know at the end of the night when you're wide awake and there's all the night that you're not okay. I wish you would cry, don't keep it inside. I wish you would cry so it won't hurt the same. Flip your narrative, forget control, hold nothing back, turn it all to gold. Not everything is what it seems. Express yourself, say what you mean. It's the same story that we've been told, from people too scared to be vulnerable. Let's make it different from all that we've known. 'Cause what do they know at the end of the night when you're wide awake and there's all the night that you're not okay? I wish you would cry, don't give in to say. I wish you would cry so it won't hurt the same. At the end of the night, you gotta let it go. Tears falling down, we oughta let them flow. I wish you would cry, don't give in to say. I wish you would cry because you're not alone. We keep trying, not keep going, search for answers, never knowing. Like mosaic, we're not perfect, that's beautiful. At the end of the night when you're wide awake and there's all the night that you're not wish you would cry, don't give in a sign. I wish you would cry so it won't hurt the same. At the end of it all, we gotta let it go. Tears falling down, we gotta let them flow. I wish you would cry, don't give in a sign, because you're not alone.
Border Crossings, Azra, who is with us. I Wish You Cry is the name of that song. Obviously, it sounds like a very personal song, a very probably painful song a little bit. You said you were dealing with vulnerabilities. You don't look like a person with vulnerabilities. You look very pretty self-confident. You're a very beautiful girl. You got a lot of talent.
Very kind of you, but I am lots of things, including vulnerabilities.
Wow. Where do you find your inspiration? Where do you find your strength? I mean, you know, it would be good advice for role models, because you're a role model, to give to the young people who might be struggling with their own self-identity.
Yeah, I think for me, I get inspiration from so many things. I think the biggest thing is like personal experiences, as well as just connecting with people and talking to fans and talking to people I don't know sometimes. And the biggest thing that drives me is realizing, you know, how all the ups and downs that I've experienced, especially with my eye, moving from Korea to America, and then just, you know, dealing with a lot of things. But it's really at the core, it's being able to hear people's stories and connecting with people, and then just realizing that, hey, at the end of the day, like, we're all connected, and that, you know, we need those hard times and challenges in order for us to have and recognize the light and like the accomplishments. So, you know, thanks for saying that I seem confident and everything. And you know what, like, this girl is confident, but I think with that, it was all, you know, it's a constant thing, right? Like, I have my down days, I have my excited days and confident days, and we're all a work in progress. And I think it's all thanks to a lot of things that I've dealt with growing up, you know.
Yeah. You've had your share of challenges, that's for sure, changing your culture and dealing with a what was a potential tragedy that I guess you've had surgery and that's helped to correct or reverse that. But to deal with that moment, the time where the realization is, I can't see out of my eye anymore.
Yeah, it was pretty traumatic. It was actually like a summer after it was during college, and a summer after my sophomore year. And instead of going back to the Bay and being with family, I was like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to go to New York City. I went to Boston University, so I was in Boston at the time. And I was like, I'm going to go to New York City. I'm not coming home. I'm going to join a girl group, this developing girl band. And then I will have internships so I can make sure like I can get credit for my stuff in college. And I'll get a job, like a part-time job, so I can like support myself. And my parents like, okay, so you're 19, you want to do all that? I was like, yeah. So like, all right. So they're like, we'll pay for your housing, but that's it. And I was like, yeah, don't worry, I'll do it. So I ended up doing that. So it was like full of a lot of excitement. I was getting into it, you know, working in the developing band and working a retail job, killing it. And then literally a month in, I woke up and I was in East Village. I was living at one of my friends, I was subletting in our house. And I woke up and literally I couldn't see out of this eye. It was like just black everywhere and everything changed. It was like I had to go see all these doctors. And when it first happened, I still went to my internship. So one of my internships was on Wall Street. And because as a hospitality business major, I was like, oh, maybe I'll just, you know, and, you know, as a business major at the time, like everybody talked about banking and stuff. And I did not know what I was doing, but I was like, I need to get an internship. So I was working at the time. And I remember in the Wall Street building, I literally couldn't see out of this eye. And I was looking out the window and I'm like, I need to go. So I ended up leaving, and there was a friend who interned with me at the time, and she was there for me the entire day. We went to an optometrist and they're like, you need to go see an ophthalmologist. And then I ended up going to Forest Hills, like all over Manhattan. And I had this friend who I just met who was there for me on the subway. And I remember, this is a long story, but
So
I remember just like looking at her and I was like crying, because I'm like, I didn't know what was happening. And none of these doctors in different boroughs wanted to take me in, because they're like, it's very rare for a 19-year-old to have a glaucoma condition. So I had to go to all these places. And I told my the new friend next to me, I was like, hey, like, you really don't have to, you know, be here with me. I know you spent like 8 hours going around. And she like literally grabbed my hand and she was like, hey, like, I'm there for you. Don't worry. And I just felt so like, it was just such a warm, you know what I mean? Like, it was so much love and that feeling. And that's when I realized, I'm like, damn, like, yes, like, cause so, yeah, she was there for me the whole day. And eventually I got a doctor in Upper West Side who took me in, and that kind of started my journey with healing in my eye. And I had to actually stop everything. After getting the doctor and him diagnosing me, he's like, you need to stop doing anything that required pressure out of your eye, which meant no singing, no hip hop dancing. Like, I'm a very active person.
Right.
So yeah. And that was very traumatic. So, I ended up flying back home to the Bay, getting surgery. And then it ended up taking like a year and a half for me to get better again. But I mean, now it's fine. I just can't really see out of this eye even still, unless I wear glasses. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm wearing one contact lens out of this.
One contact lens.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it just really changes perspective, and changing perspective can sometimes affect your songwriting and the way you think and feel about life and people around you. So, you know, good for you for being able to, you know, come through and survive what was a difficult situation. Still obviously is a difficult situation to deal with, especially in your business. Do you design clothes too? Looks like you're very fashionable. I'm looking at
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking at the leggings and the top and everything. Looks like you got a lot going on.
These aren't leggings. They're like
baggy pants. Oh, baggy pants. Okay.
No, I have not yet designed my clothes. Actually, I mean, I have like at home. I style a lot. When I was in New York, so the way I got back into the entertainment world, and after I healed my eye was healed, it was through fashion. So I was in Boston at the time, and I got approached by like a fashion photographer who was like, hey, you want to be part of this modeling thing competition? And I was like, me? I was like, bro, I've like literally kind of like, I can't see out of this eye. I'm just healing. There's no way. My confidence was like down here. But thanks to my family members, last minute, they're like, just do it, just go for it. And I was like, fine, I'll do it, but no expectations. So anyway, long story short, that's kind of how I got back into entertainment, and that was fashion. So I did a lot of modeling. I walked New York Fashion Week. I'm not 6 feet. I have long limbs, I guess, but I'm not, but I still did it. And it was very healing for me. And I love fashion in general. So I like to make sure that's incorporated in my music and art. Mm-hmm.
And what is Project Glimmer?
Ooh, Project Glimmer is a nonprofit organization, and they work with tons of other nonprofit organizations that help and empower youth and girls. So I recently partnered with them earlier this year to basically help kind of empower and contribute to, you know, their cause. You know, I'm very big on youth empowerment as well as women empowerment. That's on the advocate side of my things, and my book that you mentioned, it's called The Cupcake Theory. And whenever I can, I actually go to different high schools and organizations to speak and put on like motivational concerts for girls and boys. Yeah.
That's great. You're awesome. I mean, you do so many things and keep yourself busy and keep yourself out there going. And so we're going to ask you to do another song since you're going. We're going to say, let's keep going. Let's keep this going. What's the next song you're going to do for us?
The next song is called All Out. And that was the first single off of the EP, The Chronicles of Substance Pop, The Rebellion. I know it's very extra, but, you know, I couldn't help myself.
Right.
Yeah. And All Out, it's a very special record because, again, it was the first song off of the EP that I released. And when I got the first mix, I literally just dropped to my knees and I just started bawling. Cause I'm like, obviously the writing, the meaning behind the song is about going all out and no matter what, like just embrace who you are, embrace your recklessness even, and just be 100% in everything. Like when, like we're talking right now, like be 100%, go all out. And in addition to that, it was like the first song off of the EP that I got back from my producer. And I was like, this is exactly what I've been wanting to figure out for so many years. So it was just very emotional. And then the first week it dropped, it got picked up on K-Rock, which is a huge situation. And yeah.
So, Do you remember where you were, what you were doing when you first heard yourself on the radio for the first time?
Yeah, I was in the car. I was given a heads up. So
okay.
Last minute, it was actually like, I was getting a heads up, and then I told my friends, and they're like, we need to celebrate. And I was like, what? Like, what are we gonna? It's okay. Like, you know, and then they're like, no. I was like, okay, well, I'm definitely gonna be in the car because, you know, you gotta listen to the radio in the car. Yeah. And I grew up listening to K-Rock, you know, it's a cool station. I love the DJs there. So then I was like, okay, let's do something. So then I invited a few of my friends, and we had this whole situation. Like, wasn't driving, but we're popping bottles.
And so whenever you hear yourself on the radio and you're in a car and you roll the windows, that's me. That's me. Blast that song. All right. We're going to play All Out now. Here's Azra. And this is one of her earlier hits. It's called All Out here on Border Crossings.
Been here before. Now this ain't my first rodeo. Oh, there's not a need to tiptoe. Shh. They wanna keep me silent. I wanna keep me loud. They wanna keep me cautious. I wanna play with fire. Oh no, don't think so symmetrical. You know we gonna go in. Just here to make our own rules. They wanna keep you silent. I wanna liberate. They wanna keep you cautious. Don't wanna hesitate. Hot no. Don't be so mechanical. You know we gonna. The sky, you know we gonna go in all out. Show up for ourselves tonight when you're caught up and down. Turn the tables upside down and I saw you dancing there so fearless. Beautiful in all your recklessness. Paint the whole town. Let's turn it up all up tonight. You tell me, you tell me, you tell me, you tell me.
Border Crossings, that's called All Out. And that was that's the first song off the EP. Is this your first EP?
It's actually not my first EP. This is like the new chapter, the new era EP. But my first EP was back in 2017. It was called Freedom. And sonically, it was more on the pop rock side. Vocally, definitely similar. But yeah, so this is the second one.
Do you work slowly? Because I mean, that's 6 years between albums. The process for you, is it, you take your time with it, obviously?
You know, I don't work slow. So since I released the earlier EP, I've released like 16 singles. Was it like 12 to 13? Don't quote me on it. But yes, I've definitely released a lot more music in the previous years. But yeah, I work pretty fast, but I like to take my time when I'm putting together a project, and it just all has to make sense, right? In terms of the messaging, you know, with this EP, The Chronicles of Lessons Pop, The Rebellion, even the order of it and everything, it was very well thought out. And I'm all about storytelling. So everything has to be very cohesive for me.
Mm-hmm. So. And the name Azra, where did that name come from?
So very funny story, interesting. So I've always, like, even before I knew English, I had this weird name, like Azra, in my head, like literally circling growing up. And I'd be like, oh, Azra, like Azra. Like, I just didn't know what it was supposed to be. And growing up, like, I thought when I came to America and everything, I was like, oh, maybe like that's supposed to be my future daughter's name or something, like whenever that is. And that's what I was thinking. And I remember when I was working on my Freedom EP back in 2016, I was in the studio with my friend Natalia. We were writing and we're just kind of like chatting and everything, working on this EP. And I was like, I don't know if I want to call myself like my stage name. I don't know if I want to call myself Clara, which is my first name. And it's also my baptized name.
Beautiful name.
Thank you. And I was like, I don't know if I want to call myself Hyunju, which is my Korean name. And I was like, both of those names were kind of like given to me. So I was like, And then I was just like trying to unpeel the layers off of my onion, which is, by the way, it's hella crazy because you mentioned the onion thing earlier. And I was like, I say that too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because it's in this dimension. We're in the same planet, the same plane.
I told you, you know, the moment you heard Azra, like you tapped in right away. Like,
right away.
You cool now. Anyway, but yeah, so I was unpeeling this idea, right? Just, you know, figuring myself out. And then I realized, I'm like, and I, at the same time, I remember thinking like, I've always had this image of a girl inside of me, and growing up even. And when I was extremely happy, you know, when like little kids, when they're super happy, they just be like they laugh like ecstatically and you're like, yes. And then, so I had that image of this girl. And then I had another image whenever I wasn't like being true with myself, or I was like upset and I felt whatever, like not so good. I had images of this girl in the corner, like completely dark, just kind of like scary, just looking at me, like resenting. And I was like, huh, interesting. So when I was in the studio trying to figure out my name, for some reason, that little girl's image and Azra kind of like came together. And I was like, holy moly. I was like, actually that name Azra that I thought was supposed to be my future child's name is actually that girl inside of me who's been wanting to come out and be heard. So I'm like, all right, it's going to be Azra. And then it just like, everything made sense. And I was like, and I got out of that session. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, it's good. And recently actually Azra became my middle name. So,
oh, really?
Middle name. So yes, it is legal as well.
Oh, wow. So yeah. Tell me, where can people find you on social media? Where can they read about you? Where do they get your schedule, tour schedule, all that stuff?
Yeah, so all my stuff is on my website, azraofficial.com, and on all the socials, and there's YouTube, there's Spotify. Yeah.
Azra.com.
Oh, sorry, it's AzraOfficial.com.
AzraOfficial.com. Okay.
And on my social is at the AzraOfficial.
Okay. And so what's the plan for touring?
You know, I just got back from tour.
Oh. Now you're taking a break.
I'm taking a tiny little break. I binge watched a Korean drama all day yesterday. I'm just taking a little break, but I literally just got back 2.5 days ago.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Well, people will be looking for your tour schedule, I assume, maybe near the end, closer to the end of the year, or maybe you'll have a tour schedule together. And how about a full studio album? Are you, if you had 13 songs, 16 songs in the last couple of years, you probably could have made an album.
Yeah, definitely. I think all of those things are definitely on my mind, and it's definitely in the works. I really look forward to putting together an album, or maybe another volume of The Chronicles of Substance Pop, The Rebellion, because, you know, our lives, it's a chronicle. We're creating stories, right? Like, constantly. It's not just movies that we watch or TV shows that's like, you know, a story. Like, we're literally creating our story as we speak. So anyway, I have rants. I'll just go off on it. But yeah, so hopefully there's definitely more music coming.
That's great. That's great. The new album is The Chronicles of Substance Pop, The Rebellion. And we're talking with Azra, who's at home in California, I guess, somewhere in San Jose, if I'm not mistaken. But
Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles. Okay. Yeah. Did you live in San Jose for a while?
Yeah, I grew up in the Bay. I grew up in San Jose. Yep.
Okay. So you're in Los Angeles now, enjoying the beautiful weather, the earthquakes and the hurricanes, all the things going on there that make LA what LA is. I used to live in LA, so I know.
Oh, but really? Where are you now?
Washington, D.C., down in Washington, D.C. We've had similar paths. I mean, you're in L.A. I lived in L.A. You were in Boston. I lived in Framingham.
What?
Yep.
Wait a minute. Framingham is by EMC, right?
Yes. Yeah. Route 9, Natick, Framingham. Yeah.
Yes, I remember. Yes. In my past life, I did consulting for EMC for a little bit. So I remember going to Framingham literally every morning.
Every morning.
A couple of months. Yeah.
Did you take the T? Is that what it's called? The T?
You know, I've never taken the T to Framingham, but I definitely took the T during college and while I was living in Boston. It's the Green Line. Love.
Right. So I'm sorry. The audience is wondering, what are they talking about? We're connecting on some other stuff, some history, some Boston stuff. But, yeah. You know, it's a pleasure to have you on. And you know, it's AzraOfficial.com. That's her website. So please go to the website, get the new album, support Azra, go out and watch her perform whenever she announces her tour schedule. And is there anything you want to say to it? We're on in 100 countries. Many people from Korea also tune in. Is there anything you'd like to message to the world?
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for having me. First of all, it's an honor. And my message is, I like to share a quote. It's like a mantra that I've created and I like to share with everyone, especially after my show, The Sixth Dimension Gathering. And it's, follow your passion, create your own show. The world is your stage, for anything you can imagine is possible.
I love it. I love it. It's great. And so with that, I think it's Kaham Sumida. Is that?
It's Kamsahamnida.
Kamsahamnida. Okay. I butchered it a little bit. Kamsahamnida. I try. I took my shot. But thank you, Azra, for being with us here on Border Crossings. My name is Larry London, and this is VOA TV.